even match the men in their passions, although they were created to feel love passively. May the gods and goddesses confound them. They devise the most impossible varieties of unchastity, and in the company of men, they play the part of men. What wonder, then, that we can trip up the statement of the greatest and most skilled physician, when so many women are gouty and bald? Because of their vices, women have ceased to deserve the privileges of their sex. They have put off their womanly nature, and are therefore condemned to suffer the diseases of men. Physicians of old time knew nothing about prescribing frequent nourishment and propping the feeble pulse with wine. They did not understand the practice of bloodletting and of easing chronic complaints with sweat baths. They did not understand how, by bandaging ankles and arms, to recall to the outward parts the hidden strength which had taken refuge in the center. They were not compelled to seek many varieties of relief, because the varieties of suffering were very few in number. Nowadays, however, to what a stage have the evils of ill health advanced? This is the interest which we pay on pleasures which we have coveted beyond what is reasonable and right. You need not wonder that diseases are beyond counting. Count the cooks. All intellectual interests are in abeyance. Those who follow culture lecture to empty rooms in out-of-the-way places. The halls of the professor and the philosopher are deserted. But what a crowd there is in the cafes! How many young fellows besiege the kitchens of their gluttonous friends? I shall not mention the troops of luckless boys who must put up with other shameful treatment after the banquet is over. I shall not mention the troops of catamites, rated according to nation and color, who must all have the same smooth skin and the same amount of youthful down on their cheeks, and the same way of dressing their hair, so that no boy with straight locks may get among the curly heads. Nor shall I mention the medley of bakers, and the numbers of waiters, who at a given signal scurry to carry in the courses. Ye gods! How many men are kept busy to humor a single belly? What? Do you imagine that those mushrooms, the epicure's poison, work no evil results in secret, even though they have had no immediate effect? What? Do you suppose that your summer snow does not harden the tissue of the liver? What? Do you suppose that those oysters, a sluggish food fattened on slime, do not weigh one down with mud-begotten heaviness? What? Do you not think that the so-called sauce from the provinces, the costly extract of poisonous fish, burns up the stomach with its salted putrefaction? What? Do you judge that the corrupted dishes, which a man swallows almost burning from the kitchen fire, are quenched in the digestive system without doing harm? How repulsive, then, and how unhealthy are their belchings, and how disgusted men are with themselves when they breathe forth the fumes of yesterday's debauch. You may be sure that their food is not being digested, but is rotting. I remember once hearing gossip about a notorious dish into which everything over which epicures love to dally had been heaped together by a cookshop that was fast rushing into bankruptcy. There were two kinds of mussels and oysters trimmed round at the line where they are edible, set off at intervals by sea urchins. The whole was flanked by mullets cut up and served without the bones. In these days, we are ashamed of separate foods. People mix many flavors into one. The dinner table does work which the stomach ought to do. I look forward next to food being served masticated. And how little we are from it already, when we pick out shells and bones, and the cook performs the office of the teeth. They say, "It is too much trouble to take our luxuries one by one. Let us have everything served at the same time and blended into the same flavor. Why should I help myself to a single dish? Let us have many coming to the table at once. The dainties of various courses should be combined and confounded." Those who used to declare that this was done for display and notoriety should understand that it is not done for show, but that it is an oblation to our sense of duty. Let us have, at one time, drenched in the same sauce, the dishes that are usually served separately. Let there be no difference. Let oysters, sea urchins, shellfish, and mullets be mixed together and cooked in the same dish. No vomited food could be jumbled up more helter-skelter. And as the food itself is complicated, so the resulting diseases are complex, unaccountable, manifold.